Thank you, Joe. Who loaned me this Bible? Okay, make sure you don't leave without it. Did you give me the other one too? Who loaned me the King James Version? Make sure you get it. It's downstairs.
When I got the other one, I think it was
two. No, but get it, if you will. I mean, huh?
I think we let you two, but I got mine back.
Oh, you got yours back? Okay. Boy, I know you guys are getting tired of this, worn out. You know, the mind and the heart can only absorb as much as the seat can endure. Everything has been extremely heavy. There's not been one thing in this conference that has been light. Except maybe a little sojourn here and there with Boudreaux and Dugas and Thibodeau and Gaston and Garçon and Francois and you know who. One of the things I learned years ago when I began to preach was you can wind a watch only so tight before the spring will break, so you have to relax just a little bit. So I got to tell you about Boudreaux and Dugas and Thibodeau. They're going down to Gaston's funeral. Gaston, he passed away. And they're going down to his funeral, and so when they get there, it's already in progress, and they got Gaston laid out there in front of the church, you know, in his finest. And Boudreaux looked at him and he say, he looks good, don't he? And Dugas and Thibodeau, they say, yeah. Boudreaux say to Dugas, what would you like for people to say when you laid out like that? He said, well, I like for them to say, he was a good man. He didn't hurt nobody. He was good to his family. I said, okay. How about you, Tib? What would you like for him to say when you laid out like that? He looked over in the casket and he said, I like for him to say, look, he's moving. What would you like for them to say when they lean over you? The poet Robert Browning wrote such a wonderful poem. Come go with me, the best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in His hands, who set a whole I plan. Youth sees but half. Trust God. See all. And be not afraid. Man, I am convinced. And because of this conference, I am convinced that the best is yet to be. I believe with all my heart there is a movement of God that is taking place that is a disciple-making, church-planning movement of the Spirit of God that's sweeping over the underbelly of these churches that have lost their way. There is a young group of men who are scoffing at materialism and our idea of the American ideal, and who have turned their eyes to the fields of the world that are white unto harvest. It has been my privilege as a pastor for over 40 years to try to invest my life in young men and women who will pick up the gauntlet who will say, "Here am I, send me." And I believe that this conference has had special recognition by God. One of my favorite verses is in Malachi 3, where it says, "Then they that loved the Lord spoke often in His name. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written for them before the Lord, for them that loved Him and spoke on His name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him." Boy, what a promise! Every time you think about God, every time you think about Jesus, every time you think about your brother and about helping him and about, you know, popping him up on the leaning side or praying him down the road just another step, God says to the recording angel, "Get that down!" So a book of remembrance has been written this weekend. Believe me. Believe me. I know that I have failed the Lord in so many ways. That's the way I appreciated David's message that he just brought to us. Might be the best one I ever heard you share, David. Because God has a future for failures. That's what I love about the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the only organization in the world where the disqualification of the candidate is what qualifies you for membership. You've got to be a sinner to get in. And God specializes in things called impossible. And His joy, I believe, is to reach down that beautiful hand of His and lift a man or a woman out of the miry clay and set their feet upon a rock and establish their going and put a new song in their mouth, even praise unto God. You see, if I could be so bold as I believe that God has given me the mind of Christ to a certain extent, and that mind is this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He did that which was necessary. The efficacy of His life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension is all that it takes. But it lacks the one thing that only you can supply. How does He get the word out? It is amazing to me that God has chosen a bunch of deadbeats like us to accomplish His mission. But He has. In my own flesh, I want to run in the opposite direction. And in my own flesh, I want to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, be what I want to be, and tell God to take a hike. But the hound of heaven, through that long loop, And he put that trip on me. And he said, "Tag, you're it." And it's through this marvelous idea of relationship that he seeks to make little saviors little teachers, little rabbis. Little disciple makers out of each one of us. Men, if not me, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? I only got so many days left. Teach us to number our days. Jesus chose 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Neither pray I for these alone, he prayed in the high priestly prayer, but for all them that shall believe on me through their name. And it is a proven fact that you cannot reach the world with mass meetings and evangelisms and great swelling crowds. It's only in this beautiful experience that Paul was talking to us about of establishing a relationship with another human being. Telling isn't teaching, and listening isn't learning. We learn by doing. And therefore, the only way that what God has invested in me can be transferred to someone else is if I will take the time to tell them why, show them how, get them started, keep them going, and help them to reproduce. And I cannot know that they have done it until I see the fourth generation. So the challenge is Hebrews 5:11. For what time you ought to be disciple makers or teachers. You have one that teach you again what be the first rudiments of the principles of Christ. For and you have need of milk and not of meat. For meat belongs to them of strong age who have had their senses exercised by reason of use. So what is it that's needed? I'm going to tell you exactly what's needed, men. Exactly what's needed is the prayer that David prayed for his son. Be strong and of a good courage and do it. What else is there to say? Your life is going to be assaulted from the moment you leave this conference. The devil is going to try to pick what you have learned out of your brain. He is going to try to drive you into occurrences that will make you despair, or make you forget, or make you to say, well, not now, but I'll get around, maybe, and that maybe never comes. So, men, I say, we got to take heed to that sign that I saw in Ireland the first time I went there. It was advertising beer. Not bad beer either, but it's forever burned in my mind. Take courage. Of course, they were talking about the courage that you could get out of this pint. But God is saying, the courage that you can get from me. For I have promised. I promise you, Steve. I promise you, Tim. I promise you, Ansel. I promise you, John, Joe, Jack, Bill. You can call me Lou and you can call me Hugh, but don't call me Sue. Whatever your name is. Jesus says, I've called you by name. You are mine. And therefore, men, I'm not taking a lot of time. I'm going to cut you loose here. I'm going to cut you loose with this passage of Scripture. Habakkuk 3. In the Amplified. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, and there shall be no fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation, for He is my strength and my personal courage and my invincible army. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. That's a very sure-footed deer. And He will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but walk and make spiritual progress on my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Gentlemen, I can tell you that's what's coming in your life. That's what's here right now. That's what faces every man in the sound of my voice. Trouble. I remember the Old Testament meeting where everybody stood up and said, oh, I trusted Jesus and everything's been wonderful. An old cowboy stood up and he said, I trusted Jesus and He nearly ruined me. There's going to be trouble in your life. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to create so great and bold a man that all His world shall be amazed, that all the world shall be amazed, watch His methods, watch His ways, how He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects, how He hammers and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay which only God understands. When His tortured heart is crying and He lifts beseeching hands, how He bends but never breaks when His good He undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses, and with every perfect fuses him, every perfect, how he uses whom he chooses, and rather every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. Men, let me tell you something. If you're ready to sign up today, Jesus says, take a deep seat and a short rein for a rough ride. Because the world doesn't like this. The devil doesn't like it. He's going to fight you tooth and toenail. But as I said when I put my arms around Paul Stanley at his worst with Jesus is better than the devil at his best. And God can use you. You've got something left in you. You've got something that God can use. How? By leading somebody else up the stairs. You only have to be one step ahead. Don't you get it? You're not some brilliant theologian that's come to dump it on this poor, ignorant searcher or seeker here. You're a fellow pilgrim that God wants to use. When I look back over my life and I see the people that have invested in my life, my mentors, my Dawson Trotman, my Bob Foster, my Dave Morkin, my Dick Hillis, my Bob Evans, my Bob Pierce, my Bob Theodore Epp. You say, oh, you're just a name dropper. No, name dropper. I'm telling you, those people invested in my life. They didn't always know that they were doing it, but I rubbed up so close to them that they couldn't get away from me, and I got what they had. Aristotle, I better read that. I don't want to get this sequence wrong. Whoo! Glory, I'm on the road now. Hold on to me. Where is that? Hold on. I'm sorry. Just hold on. Socrates mentored Plato. Plato mentored Aristotle. Aristotle mentored Alexander the Great. A master's ceiling can be a disciple's floor if he knows how to absorb the lessons of the master's life. Men, you got to believe me. This deal ain't that hard. I mean, you find somebody that's got something that you don't have, or that's a little bit better at it, or that's a little closer to Jesus, just maybe one step, or maybe he just knows how to pray a little better, or he just knows how to hide the Word of God in his heart a little better, or he just knows how to read the Scripture a little better, or to study a little better. and get close enough to Him where it'll rub off on you. And then don't walk. Don't crawl. Run to somebody else. And share it with Him. And share it with Him in such a way that He can share it with somebody else. And share it with somebody else in such a way that they can share it with somebody else. It ain't that hard. But it takes courage. My son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Hosea said that the Lord says, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. I want you to know me, and I want you to share me with somebody else. You know, my greatest joy is sitting down with my baby. She happens to be a girl now. She's 37 years old. She's a navigator on refueling tankers. Said, Dad, did you ever think you'd have a daughter that'd be flying high and passing gas? After 5 deployments, she's come back home. She's bought a home near me and her mother. She's in the Mississippi Air National Guard. And she's working for the Veterans Administration in a little clandestine group that's trying to straighten them out. And I don't think they'll ever get it done. Maybe. But what thrills me more than anything in this world is that she says, Dad, can we read the Bible together? Can you show me how to memorize those verses like you do? I'm stupid. I'm sad that my daughter's 37 years old and I haven't done that before. Oh, I taught them. We taught them Bible verses when they were little. We prayed with them when they were little. We took them to church when they were little. We've had them in every kind of a meeting you could have. Bible memory here, summer classes there. And I was doing it with other people. Man, I've been doing this for 50 years. I meet with a guy on Monday morning, an hour and a half. He comes over, I cook breakfast. We sit down, we study the scripture together. I'm tough on him. He's a big, fumbling guy. But he keeps coming back. And he's learning how to study the scripture with intention, with attention and intention, and with the desire to put it into his life. And he's hiding the verses of God away in his heart. And we're praying together. And he's leading a few other guys. He comes back and he tells me, boy, hey, can you believe this guy? Yeah, I can believe it. And on Tuesday mornings, I'm meeting with another guy. He's the guy that mixes your gasoline if you ever buy any Exxon. He's the engineer that mixes the gasoline at the Exxon plant. You know, I've known some people in my life. One of my first golf buddies was Monroe Rathbone. Do you know who Monroe Rathbone was? You don't have a clue. He was the president of Exxon. He's the man that made the decision that drove the Arabs into the cartel. We're in all this mess because of Monroe Rathbone. But I'm also meeting with the guy that mixes the Exxon gasoline. But more than that, he's hiding the Word of God away in his heart. He's leading a community group that has split four times. He's taken his wife and little baby boy to a deal called Radius in Tijuana, Mexico in July to sharpen him up on methodology to reach Muslims. He's going overseas. I've met over the 40 years ago, I had a little Bible study, and we met at Sambo's Pancake House. Not politically correct. They changed the name. But Carter came and he said, and we shared, I don't know, we were just four or five guys. Was it a big deal? No, we were going through the Gospel of John and probably got to verse 12, chapter 1. And we talked about what it meant. And so Carter said, "Hey, could I talk to you a little bit after the group?" I said, "Sure." We went over. We sat in my car. I said, "Carter, have you ever done that?" "No." He said, but he said, I want to, he had an MBA. He was no dummy. He said, "I want to read through the Bible when I finish it, I want to make a rational decision about my relationship with God." And I said, "Well, that's not a bad plan, Carter. But something tells me you're going to stall before you get through. And I want to tell you something else. The Bible says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, and they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned." It's like this, Carter. God is broadcasting the good news from heaven, and it's coming over here, but it's trying to get into this TV set, but we don't have a TV set, right? We're not getting the message. There's a breakdown somewhere. They need to be spiritually discerned. The media is the Spirit of God, and the only way you get Him is to bow your will before God and invite Him into your life, the Lord Jesus. And He did that day. Shortly thereafter, after we met once a week for a couple of years, and we had an economic downturn in Baton Rouge. You know, real estate. He was in the real estate business, and the bottom fell out. And he had to leave town under the cover of darkness, nearly. So he went off to Atlanta. And I'd call him up on the phone. I said, "Carter, how you doing?" "Well," he said, "I met a guy named John the other day. I talked to him about Jesus, and he trusted the Lord. And so I'm meeting with him now." And a couple of weeks later, I said, "How you doing?" He said, a couple of months later, he said, I said, "How you doing?" "Well," he said, "doing good." And he said, "Hey, you know John? That old Bill Stone over here, and he did the same thing with him. And he's meeting with him." And meanwhile, I met with another guy named Carter. my namesake, but I met with him anyway. And we're doing the same thing. And so this went on for about a year. And I went to Atlanta 1 year later. And men, if I'm lying, I'm dying. There were 10 generations of men who had trusted Jesus Christ and were in the Scripture, were memorizing the Word of God, were actively meeting with other men and going out and seeking them and doing it. I'm going to tell you, it works. Not because of me, or not because of you, but because God has chosen and has limited Himself to put Himself in you and to make you, Mike, His obedient servant that will be the foundations of many generations. There's going to come a day in heaven when people are going to run up to you and say, Mike, I never knew who you were, but you led old Joe to the Lord and you helped him, and Joe helped Ben, and Bill and Ben helped Sam, and Sam helped Rob, and Rob helped me. So Mike, I'm here because of you. Thank you so much. Man, that's all it is. That's all it is. That's everything. Jesus humbled Himself. He had the courage to come down heaven's stairway. And if you'll embrace Him, He has the courage for you to come off of your level of not now, too busy, haven't got time, I'm afraid I'll fail. Men, there's a man out there waiting for you. It's your responsibility. Sure, you're going to hit the trouble. Sure, but it's your responsibility. He's going to place my feet on my high places of trouble, suffering, it'll be costly, and responsibility. But they that be of thee will build the old place, old waste places, and you will raise up the foundations of many generations. And they that be of thee, I mean the multitudes of heaven, are going to come from this conference. Oh, there was great conferences in the past, and the year before that. And the year before that. But man, this is now. This may be the last one we ever have. So I'm going to say, be of good courage. Do it. Be of good courage. Do it. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, He that raised up Christ from the dead, shall quicken your mortal bodies by the selfsame Spirit that dwells in you, and the Spirit that brought that lifeless form of Jesus Christ out of that tomb is dwelling in you if you've put your trust in Him. And He's dwelling in you for one reason. And that is to populate heaven. Everything else is worthless. Everything else is going to go up in smoke. Everything else is going to be a dream that will be quickly forgotten. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Love that soul through me. Help me nobly do my part to win that soul to Thee, so that when in the eternal glory the saved all around us appear, Lord, let me remember that at Lost Valley 2016, I said, Lord, here I am. Give me the courage, and I'll do it. Amen.